What's up, listeners? Welcome to the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast, the very first episode of 2020. I am excited to come to you today. Another great year ahead of digital and social media and sports. Cool episode to start off the year. Someone that I've known for a bit, know him pretty well, and it's really cool to see how he does a full-time job, but also is working as an editor for Spartans Wire, which is a USA Today sports site. It's the official site of USA Today Sports for all things Michigan State Athletics. My guest today is Andrew Brewster, and you'll be able to really learn how he balances those two jobs, how he's grown Spartans Wire when it was relatively dormant for a while, and getting it back on the real estate for Michigan State fans. It's a really good episode. We go all things around the website, user experience, content, page views, social. So stick around for that conversation. I think you're going to enjoy it, as well as just what it's like to try to make it as a sports writer or a sports blogger on the side. But before we get to the conversation with Brewster, we have this episode's helpful tool. And this helpful tool is really pretty simple. It's just a place to get some inspiration. You know, I think there's always a lot of questions or things that I'm thinking about. Where can I look for inspiration? You can look on Pinterest. You can obviously check out examples from what other teams and brands and organizations are doing, whether that's on organic or on the ad side when it comes to social. But sometimes you just want to check out some fun pictures and be inspired to, whether it's make a joke or try a meme or, you know, develop some attitude with your content. And this site I found, just sort of stumbled upon, it's kind of like stumbled upon used to be, it's called PicDash, PicDash.com. It's not much, it's a site where you literally just click on funny pictures. And it's one at a time, it shows you, it's like a slideshow, almost a never-ending slideshow. And it's almost like a meme factory to some degree. You can kind of see the jokes, you can save a picture and, you know, make it for your brand or take the idea and run with it in a different way and derive an idea from it. So it's kind of a neat little site. There's not much to it, but, you know, browse around. If you're ever looking for a place to try to get some inspiration or ideas, check out PicDash.com. All right, that's this helpful tool. Now stick around for the conversation with Andrew Brewster. You're really going to enjoy it. You're going to learn a lot and really be inspired, too, about what he's been doing there at Spartans Wire. Back in this episode's opening segment, and I am psyched for the first guest on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast of 2020. Someone I've known for a while, a friend of mine. On the podcast today is Andrew Brewster. I call him Brewster or Brew or any number of nicknames, so deal with that today. But Andrew Brewster, welcome to the podcast today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Neil. It's a long time coming. I'm glad to finally be here after knowing you pretty much since even a couple weeks before I first moved to LA. So happy to be here.
Really psyched to pick your brain. What you do is really cool. So for folks listening, Brewster works for Bobbitt Media as a customer success manager. He'll go into that a little bit. But we're also going to talk mostly today about his quote-unquote side hustle. He is someone that is still very passionate about the sports space, about sports writing, sports journalism, and works for Spartans Wire, runs Spartans Wire, really started it, which is under the USA Today Sports umbrella, one of their many wires, and is covering all things Michigan State athletics. So really cool to be able to talk to Brewster today about how he straddled those two jobs and continues to pursue his passion of sports journalism while still maintaining a full-time job on the side. So we're lucky to have him spend a few minutes today because he doesn't have a lot of free time. So we'll get into it. But before we get to our main discussion, Brew, tell us about your career path. Tell us about how you got started in college, getting experience with various blogs along the way, while also managing the bill-paying jobs, getting experience at Hopscotch with me, and then starting at Bobbitt and Spartans Wire. Any folks that want to do what you do? Or any tips for folks that want to do what you do?
Yeah, definitely. So when I graduated school, I was a little aimless trying to figure out what my role would be in my career path. I landed with a startup company in Michigan called CrypSpot, which was doing tenant management software and rent management software, property management software in Michigan. So I was kind of running their enterprise in East Lansing, which is where Michigan State was, which I'm an alumni of. I have a political theory degree, so I'd kind of just gotten that degree with the anticipation that I'd be kind of finding my way afterwards. I have a lot of different interests, so I didn't really want to pigeonhole myself anywhere in particular. But when I first found that position, I liked that job. It was fine. But I kind of looked myself in the mirror one day, and I realized, you know, I do have a good job. Like, I don't hate it, but I'm not really doing anything with these writing abilities that I'd spent so much of my life fostering and developing. And I really was frustrated with myself about that, that I let that happen. I'd always viewed myself in my mind's eye as a writer. So I wanted to make that change. And I really, you hear goal-oriented lifestyle a lot nowadays. You know, you really need to write down where you want to be to figure out where you're going to go. So I really did have a come to Jesus moment, so to speak, where I wrote down where I want to be. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I wrote down was I want to have a true, at least second income as a writer. And I went and met with some people to figure out how I could make that transition. My father knew a guy who did make a tremendous side living off freelance writing. And he had gave me some tips to how to get started there. I did some freelance work from companies called Upwork, some smaller jobs like that. Eventually landed into ghostwriting. Every word of a website, from blogs to copy, mapping out the UX journey and experience for a life insurance company after that point, which isn't exactly sports media, but that's kind of where I got my break in writing. And I also kind of was like, well, that's not exactly what I want to be doing. I want to transition more to sports. How can I get there? And I started writing for Piston Powered, which is in the fan-sided infrastructure. So that's kind of where I first planted the roots for writing for myself.
How does that happen? How do you end up at Piston Powered? You had to take some action. You had some experience at that point, at least, with some writing samples to provide. But how do you end up writing for that fan-sided site?
Well, the good thing about fan-sided and also the bad side is that because it is largely unpaid, by largely, I mean like all, unless you're running the site, which I never did at the time. I just put in an application and heard back that there's like two major Pistons websites in the Pistons blogosphere, so to speak. There's Detroit Bad Boys with the SB Nation site. Mm-hmm. There's the fan-sided site, Piston Powered. So I shot over a resume there. Duncan Smith was the editor at the time, and he brought me in and gave me some good insight and some good tips. And I really did enjoy writing there at the time, but you know, it was all unpaid, so it was a time investment. I appreciated it as an opportunity, but and really, as I'll kind of talk about with the transition of Spartanswear, I wouldn't be where I am now without it. But I also have some issues with the unpaid writing industry, and I know especially today there is a lot of talk about SB Nation and fan-sided and how they get so much free labor off of people just for the sake of an opportunity. It worked out for me. It doesn't work out for everyone, but for me it worked out okay.
Yeah, and so at that point, had you already kind of determined that, okay, writing's going to be a second income, a second job, a way for me to pursue my passion and maybe earn a few extra bucks as opposed to a full-time thing, and now you're focusing on the housing software company you're working for, Cribspot, and then I'll let you get into how you end up out here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so I was just living in Michigan, which is a very cold, frigid place. I wasn't particularly happy living there. Then I had a friend who actually connected me with you, who interviewed me for a customer success position for Hopscotch, which I'm guessing that listeners at least are somewhat familiar with your time there. It was a mobile app developer, primarily for sports teams, events, venues, some things like that. Yeah. Interestingly enough, at one point we did develop the Spartanswire app. So Spartanswire was a part of that, which really coincidentally had nothing to do with me ending up there eventually, which is really just uncanny and hilarious. But so I decided kind of quickly, I was just like, I'm not happy in Michigan. I'm going to make the move to LA. I've got a lot of college friends out there. Luckily, I stumbled across you, who was, I guess, fooled into giving me a job, and I started there at Hopscotch, and then while there, I think I did have a lot of good experiences that helped me along my path and kept kind of fostering some of the interests and the abilities that I already had at my disposal. Managing the Spartanswire app, which it technically still exists, but isn't really being managed because that company's under now. Sending out sponsored push alerts for the wires, cultivating and curating their news feeds, like what's pinned up to the top of each of the sections. I did kind of start to become more familiar with the product of SportsWire and how it's positioned, and also just in general how to curate a news feed for sports. So that was definitely valuable there. And then when Hopscotch, so the company we worked at from the Left developer, went under, I was kind of left without a position. I found a temporary sales position. And then while I was in that sales position, I got contacted by the SportsWire team at USA Today in Gannett. And they had been referred to me by someone who I used to write with, one of my former editors, at Brendan Welper at Pistons Powered, who is just kind of a happenstance. He knew that I was a Michigan State alum. He knew I was a good writer. He knew I was interested in sports. He sent him my way, and I got started right there. They needed someone kind of in a pinch because Michigan State was making a now heralded run to the Final Four. So they needed someone in a pinch. They got me in there. And then during my first couple months there, I found my way over to Bob at Business Media, which, as Neil said, is where I'm currently at. I'm a customer success manager there, but that's kind of a broad position. I won't get too much into it because this is a sports media podcast and not a business media podcast. But basically, I'm advising a lot of our clients across largely automotive, business-to-business advertising on some of our more custom digital campaigns, custom content strategy, content marketing, advanced targeting and insight campaigns, and marketing campaigns like that. So I've definitely learned a lot there in terms of writing and content strategy. I even do a little bit of writing there. I just produced an ebook for Bobbitt yesterday. So a lot that I've learned over my time, and kind of a weird path to get here. But, you know, a couple years ago, like I said earlier, I kind of wrote down that I want to make a true second income from writing. I started doing the freelance stuff and the Pistons stuff, part of it for free. And I kind of stumbled my way into now being the site editor for SpartansWire, which I couldn't be more happy with.
Well, hats off to you, because I know it's been a grind. It's a lot of passion put into it, especially, you know, it's great now that SpartansWire is something that you can get some leadership experience at, something that does, you know, provide some income as well. But as you mentioned, you did start out at FanSided, which was free. And, you know, we're seeing this sort of evolution or revolution take place over the last several years, you know, most especially in the last couple of years of sports media overall. You know, most saliently with Sports Illustrated recently and all their layoffs, and how the verb to maven a publication is almost becoming a thing of creating like a network of just low paying or non paid writers. So just tell me about like what was your take on how, what it was like working at FanSided when it was free? Like was it presented to you as, this is, you know, you're never going to get paid for this, so, you know, this is just for your experience? Or is there's a path to getting paid? You're going to be paid per page, per word, per project, per article, whatever it may be. So what was the setup there like at FanSided, and how was it presented to you as an opportunity?
Yeah, there was, when I first signed my contract, there was some language that potentially you could make money, I think, if you hit a certain threshold on page views. But with the amount that a lot of writers for FanSided are doing, the average writer is never going to see a dime. I know the actual site experts, quote unquote, that's kind of their version of the editor. They get like $50 to $100, like basically nothing to keep this content
gas
going.
Money.
So yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of that model. I have to give a lot of credit to them, because I wouldn't be in the position I am now without it. But, the whole concept of giving talented writers, you know, kind of sucking them dry for content in exchange for opportunity, I'm not the biggest fan of. I guess I'll kind of address this now. The whole mavening of sports media, it's kind of trying to, we're trying to a lot of these companies are trying to divest or, you know, limit their investment in their content, but still make the same amount of revenue. So they want to cheapen on the type of content that they're producing to be able to get more revenue. It's kind of the opposite of what a company like The Athletic is doing, where they're trying to pay their writers a fair wage to get them really in-depth content. I do have a problem with it. I think that journalism and writing and intellectualism in all forms, from sports to philosophy to politics, should all be the highest investment in our society. I don't know if that's, we don't want to get into too much politics here, but preserving the arts and preserving journalism and journalistic integrity is something that I think that we really need to look at as a society to really protect. And it really bothers me. That's where it's coming from. On the other hand, I think that there's probably some journalists that would look like at a site like Spartan's Lawyer, like what I'm doing, and look at it as not the highest journalistic integrity, because mm-hmm. it is more of like a fan blog. It's a little bit higher than like an SB Nation or a fan-sided fan blog, but less than an actual journalistic endeavor. Mm-hmm. We do a little bit of content aggregation. Actually, I think Gannett's method to the madness is we do aggregate some of the really good writing from people like Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press or mm-hmm. Graham Couch of Lansing State Journal, and then kind of throw back to them. So we do actually drive traffic back to those sites. Yeah. For some of their content, if they have like a really good quote from one of their pieces, I'll rip out the quote, I'll write that, and then hopefully direct our traffic back there. So maybe those guys don't even like that we do that. That's kind of the task at hand set to me by Gannett. But what I would say in my major critique of this kind of mavening of the sports media landscape is that limiting the investment in writing is a really bad decision. It's going to lead to bad things. I think that where they went wrong, and I don't have proof of this, but this might be an interesting discussion to have with you, Neil, since you're a little bit more of an expert at this even, is I think that where they went wrong was they failed to monetize the good writing that they did have. Mm-hmm. And I look at some sites and I'm thinking like maybe there aren't as many ad positions on this page as there should be, or maybe they're not doing enough strategic corporate partnerships to drive revenue to this company. Or maybe there needs to be more native-sponsored content that they're doing in conjunction with their partners, or get more creative. Or because I still see in the podcasting space, for example, I'm on a podcast, there is a lot of impact to having voices that people trust give advertisements for products. Why wouldn't that work on a website? I don't know. I don't really see it being tried. This is off the top of my head, but yeah. I'm wondering if maybe the business side and the sales side, the marketing side of some of these websites failed, and they're trying to adjust their balance books, and they're taking it out of the thing that actually drives the value of their website.
No, it's an interesting point. Even looking at the linear platforms about how a Kirk Herbstreit, a college football analyst, is doing commercials on the side because people trust him. They see him every day. And could someone that is trusted as a writer also be, helping to do advertisements for the publication to help pay his own bills and, keep the other writers employed as well? But it's been more of a side hustle, I guess. And it's interesting because I think when you, even before you got into this space, there was a race to the bottom, so to speak, about volume and, just page views and banner ads, hoping that millions and millions of page views and banner ads would pay the bills. And at the end of the day, it's just not that way. And now here we are with a combination of long form, like The Athletic, that are subscription based. We have, aggregation sites that are just trying to get as much traffic as possible. And then, as you mentioned, in some ways, are you adding to or taking away from the newspapers of the world or the online newspapers of the world as well? So there's a lot here for us to dive into, I think. But I want to hear first and foremost about just, is it a matter of this is the way that people want to consume content now? They don't want to read that whole Detroit Free Press article. They're more interested in seeing that quote. And then if they want to, they can learn more. Or are you helping just them, get through the chew through the fat, and the fact that you guys are sort of lifting some value from what's being produced elsewhere? Yeah, you're linking back to do your due diligence and hope that you can drive some traffic for them. But is it a matter of just a practice that's successful for a place like Spartan's Wire, or is it reacting more to the way that fans today consume their content in short bits and snippets?
Yeah, I think that is most of it. I think that there are a lot of sports fans that just want a quick hits on give me what's important, what I need to know. And I do think that at the Wire sites, we do have a little bit of a niche here where we're covering everything. I don't think there's another Michigan State website that I know of that literally covers everything. There's the fan site and the SB Nation site that's similar to us, where it is kind of more of a fan voice. that covers a lot of it, but we're literally covering every little snack size piece, every like offer that comes through to a 4-star recruit. We're getting that out there. Every press conference, we're posting that because I have some contributors that go there and get the video. Mm-hmm. We're really covering everything. So people who want to get everything, but in shorter bite sized pieces, Spartans Warrior is kind of a good piece. And then obviously because the volume we have, we do kind of dominate a lot of the SEO. I hope that there is still a lot of appetite for the Detroit Free Presses of the world, for the Lansing State Journals of the world, because I read that and that's where I still get a lot of value, even though I'm writing about the team too. I think that their deep dives and stuff and the amount of access that they get to the teams is just something that we as not credentialed journalists are just not going to get. You know, we do have one guy who's credentialed and goes to the games, mm-hmm. And sits at the press box and stuff, but the access that Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press is going to get, it's just going to give you a level of insight. So it is my hope that we are driving traffic back to those sites, because I want those sites to succeed. That's something that is really important to me, to see a Detroit Free Press continue to be successful.
And I think it's cool that you were able to start Spartans Wire from the ground up. I mean, there are several other wires that already exist and have existed for many other schools and teams and sports. So when you started Spartans Wire, along with Gannett, like, what was the charge from them? I mean, what was the brand you're looking to build? Do you guys want to be the voice of the fan? Do you want to be a place where you can get, you know, every single possible headline out there, and, you know, go an inch deep instead of a mile deep, you know, whatever the saying is? Or do you not want fans to think of you guys as a place to get the longer investigative pieces, or a place where you're going to be necessarily breaking news? But when news does break, you'll have it there, even if it's not your guys' break or scoop necessarily. So I guess, who are you trying to appeal to? What are you trying to be, and how intentional is it? And how has it evolved?
Well, that's where I think we actually have stumbled onto something that's pretty awesome. I did not get much of a charge from them. Gannett was just really happy to have someone on the site. I will clarify, I didn't start it from the ground up. There was a Spartans Wire that kind of existed in the ether. It wasn't very good. It didn't have really strong SEO. They had problems with the last editor. So it's just kind of floating there, and the editor kind of just disappeared and left it vacant. So they were scrambling to find someone. So they're just, I think, ecstatic that they found someone who was able to go up there and get, you know, I'll be honest, 100 to 120. Like 6 articles a day posted on the site. Yeah, that's what we're doing right now. We did 6 articles a day last month. Unreal. So 186 articles posted last month between me and 2 other writers. But where I think we really stumbled onto something special is the mix of the writers that we have on staff. So there's myself, and I'm doing honestly about 80 pieces a month. I'd say a quarter of those are covering some of the breaking news that comes out. A quarter of those is the voice of the fan, kind of giving my take on, you know, the all-decade team, or who's the greatest Michigan State point guard of all time, mm-hmm. or 5 takeaways from the game last night, which as an educated fan, I think I give a little bit more than just, you know, bare bones analysis. I think I bring a little bit of my own experience and basketball knowledge, just a lot of the basketball team stuff, or, you know, what have you. But then we also have a guy named Will Hunter on staff who does the Locked On Spartans podcast. He's really more of a deep dive writer, where during football season, he's a big football guy. He will do a 1,500 to 2,000 word film review breakdown of the Michigan State offense, which I think is honestly on par with some of the guys at The Athletic, like Colt Pouncey, who also does a great job covering Michigan State. And I don't think that's something that was ever expected of us, mm-hmm. from the Gannett team. I think that they'd be really happy if we just literally covered the most clickbait stuff possible. But luckily, we got a guy like Will on staff who can do some of the longer form content in a really smart way that brings a different level of value to the Wire site. And then I also brought on a friend of mine who's a good writer to help me cover some of the more breaking news and game recaps and quicker hit stuff. So I think that In theory, the site was supposed to just kind of be a voice of the fan. Let's cover all the breaking news, and let's also just give up 5 things to watch in the next game. 5 Spartans in the NFL who are doing really well, you know, yada, 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 kind of simpler stuff. But then we were lucky to get a guy like Will on staff who can talk a bit deeper. I think that I can get a little bit deeper as well in some of my analysis when I have the time. So I think we've kind of stumbled onto something pretty remarkable.
And are you actively or intentionally, or I guess what's helping to guide the content decisions, content formats? Like, is a 1,500 word, you know, in-depth article equivalent to 3,500 word articles or 1,050 word articles? Like, how do you look at those decisions? Or is it just about, you know, creating the best content and then, you know, stepping back and whatever it is, every 6 weeks, every month, every couple weeks to see, you know, what's actually resonating with fans?
Yeah, I always keep an eye on how things are performing. Yeah, now that I can just log on and quickly see our page views for the day, it does become kind of addicting to continuously see how things are growing and how certain things impact on the audience. But for me, I don't give a charge to the writers on staff. I give them a lot of autonomy to do what they want because they're smart guys. And we do coordinate things from time to time, like we did Goat Week, the greatest of all time week, or a lot of our all-decade stuff, or, you know, all those types of things, preseason content. But really, I like that we have a variety of types of content on the site. I think it gives us more credibility as a website, more value to the fans. And if my writers that are working on the site are passionate about something, then I think it means that our fans are going to be passionate about it too. So I just kind of let the content go where it makes the most sense.
Yeah, and I don't want to dive too deep into the metrics, but it's interesting to look at how, you know, how the metrics have evolved over the years. And you look at even like the Players Tribune, and, you know, obviously their sale has been covered recently, and their struggles and triumphs over the years of how they may not look as much as in page views because they don't seek to get a ton of page views every single day, but they look at, you know, time on site and the quality of our sessions. And so there's so many different ways you can, you know, you can skin the cat, so to speak, of looking at those metrics. But I do want to step back a little bit and talk about what it's like to build up some real estate, build up credibility in this space, and when it's so crowded these days. I mean, to look at the how daunting it is to start a Facebook page or start or build up a Twitter feed from virtually nothing. So how did you go about that early on of, you know, establishing Spartans Wire, you know, getting some traffic that had with credibility and getting your name and voice and content out there? And, you know, what, if any, sort of support does USA Today provide? And what sort of strategies do you use? SEO, you know, social media? Give me an idea of what it took and what it has taken to build up that credibility and how you continue it today.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, Gannett did make an investment in the Facebook page initially to get some followers there. So they did do an ad spend there. So we have well over 1,000 followers there, which is pretty solid. There's also some good Michigan State fan pages on Facebook that are allow us to repost our content there that have, you know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 fans. So that was definitely a way that we were able to make our mark on Facebook. On Twitter, I'll give a lot of the credit to, again, Will Hunter, the writer on staff, who also hosts a Locked On Spartans podcast. He is a pretty distinguished voice in Michigan State athletics. People know him. Honestly, more than I did, because I was always a fan of Michigan State. I'm obviously an alumni there. I'm engaged with the team, but I wasn't doing a lot of Michigan State breakdowns or content until I started working on Spartans Wire, where he's kind of a voice in the fan base. So him retweeting stuff and kind of lending his credibility there has helped us out tremendously. From an SEO standpoint, because we're posting more Michigan State articles than I am confident to say any other website a month. I would be hard pressed to find another website that's publishing 180 articles on it a month. So that's kind of helped us on the SEO front. We get most of our traffic now based off search traffic, which is great. I would say we get like 60% of our traffic from search, then like 20 from Facebook and 20 from Bleacher Report. We're in both of the team streams, so that's also tremendously important to us. I'd say from there, those are kind of the three facets, is the Facebook page and Twitter kind of being helped by initial investment from Gannett, and then also the connections from Will, Bleacher Report being in the team stream, and then just the amount of volume we write really helps us dominate the SEO. I think at any time of the day, if you search any topic in Google, we're going to show up in that first couple of sections.
And you guys are primarily sticking to that content focus where we are a clearinghouse, so to speak. If there's something out, a story out there about Michigan State, you can get it here, as opposed to maybe, you know, leaning into more of the hot takey part of sports media, of trying to get people riled up, trying to get trolls riled up so that you drive conversation. How much of that is on your mind sometimes when you can put something, quote unquote, not necessarily controversial, but maybe hit on things like your GOAT week with ranking people, ranking athletes for Michigan State, ranking teams that may help inspire more of that, you know, that back and forth argumentative sort of sports media takes?
Yeah, anytime you can create. There's a great great book and quote from a guy named Eric Bischoff, who's a 90s wrestling name. Mm-hmm. But he would always say, controversy creates cash. So whenever you can stir up a little bit of controversy, I think that's going to be a good thing. So always love anything that we can drum up conversation on. We can post it in some of those other Facebook groups, try to get some discussion going. We do have a forum now that we're still trying to create some traction with that we just introduced recently. So hopefully there's some more opportunity there to have good interaction and engagement with our fans. But yeah, I'd say any time that we can drum up an idea or a topic that we can get some divisiveness on, it's going to be a good thing. We're definitely the voice of the positive fan, I would say. We're not going to be out here saying,
yeah,
fire D'Antonio, and we're not going to pin that to the top of our news feed for the month, because that's just not really, I don't think, how any of the writers on our staff feel. But if it was, you know, we'd have no qualms in posting something like that.
Scratching out my list of my topic lists now around Coach D'Antonio's future, but I do want to hear about kind of what you've learned from a user perspective, and also I couldn't help but think too while you're talking about, you know, building up more of a community, a message board. It makes me feel like, again, I wrote an article recently myself about how we're kind of back to the future with some of these things. And you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, even forums and message boards were the thing. And now we're trying to almost get back to that sense of community and trying to find a place to talk with like-minded people in a conventional way that's not necessarily the quick hot takes on Twitter. But I do want to go into a little about UX and really, you know, how people consume their content these days, because you have so many different options. You have, you know, embedded videos. You can have, you know, large block quotes. You can have listicles. You can have slideshows. You know, how can a game preview be presented? How can a game recap or a breakdown be presented? You have the superlatives of, you know, the best ofs. So like all these different ways you can present content. You know, what have you found that fans tend to like? What works best, and also what works best for monetization perspective? So what are some of the key learnings you have there as you develop Spartans Wire over the last several months here?
Yeah, we try to be mindful of not having too many slideshows, although it is important to Gannett that we have some. You know, a 10-page slideshow, that's 10 page views every time someone reads through it. So that's going to be important to them. That's more impressions for their ad operations team to work with. So, you know, when it's appropriate, I'm never going to shoehorn in something to do a listicle or to do a slideshow. That doesn't make sense. But when we're doing the greatest of all time teams, that kind of behooves itself to be presented in a slideshow. You know, we do usually have a video at the top of each page, because that's, again, another ad impression,
right,
for Gannett. So we have a native video library that a lot of that is shared across the Gannett space. So we do get video from Detroit Free Press, Lansing State Journal. There is also a custom video team that turns some of our articles into video. Wow. So those are usually embedded into our feed as well, unless it's another piece of video content that we're posting from a different source like YouTube. So I try to be mindful of the user experience on the site. I want it to be quick hitters most of the time, unless we're doing a longer film breakdown or something. So definitely important to keep in mind. We do need to balance in some of the slideshows, and actually when we do post the slideshow, Gannett will give a modest Facebook investment for an ad spend in there too. So if we do write a really good slideshow, I can put it into this spreadsheet that we share with the Gannett ad team, and they'll blast it out into a quick Facebook post.
No, it's good insight too, that when you're thinking about how content is presented, that there's a lot of factors go into that. And, you know, maximizing ad impressions is one thing. UX is and user experience is another thing. And there's so many different factors to consider. But to your point earlier, though, about, you know, I guess getting better than the display ads, getting better than just the impressions based ads. You know, is there a future at a place like Spartan's Wire, or, you know, in your mind, it just as someone that works in the media space, of doing more of that, quote unquote, the, you know, branded content, native content, be able to have a, you know, a Ford inside the drive for one of Will's breakdowns for a Spartans football game, as opposed to just, you know, a banner ad in between the articles or whatever it may be. Is that something that you think could ever develop in one of these crowd-based sites? Or is this the collaboration with business operations, with the ad sales team, just not mature to that point, as long as they're, you know, working with people that are doing it part-time like you are?
Well, I will say that they do have two pieces of branded content that we've done during the year already, mm-hmm. which I really like, and I'd like to do more of it. One is with one simple, it's this Amway for the coaches poll during the football season, because right. Amway already sponsors that. So we'd always mention Amway and have a little bit of a blurb within the article about the Amway coaches poll for the football rankings. And then there would be also a partnership with BetMGM, which is MGM Sports' new online betting portal. Mm-hmm. So all of our betting odds, so if we do Michigan State's a 5-point favorite over Michigan or something, we'll add in a little cookie link back to BetMGM in there and say that's where the odds are from and try to direct traffic. So those are two partnerships. But yeah, you're completely right. I would like to see more of that. And I've never once had a conversation with Gannett's sales team or ad operations team or product development team to discuss what would be possible. So and I've expressed that I would like to have some input there, because that's my day job, is coming up with those strategic right. partnerships in a lot of ways and coming up with ideas for native content. So I would love to help advise them and work with that more. I think that you're onto something, that with us being, you know, external employees, it's a little bit difficult to link up with those people and brainstorm and come up with those ideas and let them know what's possible. I think that it'd be smart for them to have some synchronization there between the editor and the ad team. That's something in every publisher and every media company, I think, is trying to develop more relationship there and have your sales and marketing team really coordinate with the editorial team and get more in line. I think that there would be an opportunity, because we have 14 College Wire sites right now. They could easily have a partnership, like you said, with Ford, where the Inside the Drive game recap, where every game recap is sponsored by Ford and it has a Ford video in it. And Ford branding on the site when you view that article. There's so much that you could do. Even when I'm thinking about some of the silly partnerships that we had looked into when we were managing the SportsWire app, when we're trying to find partnerships for them just on the app side, if there is a company that is doing that has a product that is just geared to the colleges within the SportsWire sites, SnapLaces was one that we had right. talked to, where they were doing Michigan State, like LSU branded shoelaces. Well, why don't we have just a post on, hey, there's these cool new shoelaces. You know, we have 180 articles a month. I don't think our fans would get too turned off if we have one post that's like, oh, these are cool shoelaces that you can check out. 100%. I think there's a ton of opportunity there. I think it requires getting on the same page for everyone in your organization, and it requires some innovation and ingenuity. But that this is kind of getting back to what I was saying. I think a failure of some of these sports media sites to monetize properly and to come up with new ways to innovate and monetize their sites has led to them now trying to remove a lot of the quality of writing from their sites, which is, in my opinion, not where they're failing.
Yeah, no, we can go through this all day, I think. I love the idea, too, of hitting up, you know, CLC or IMG licensing to be able to hit up all those licensed apparel company, licensed companies that are paying to use those college marks. But yeah, there's so much that we can go into here. But I do have a couple more, one more minute left here with Andrew Brewster, better known as Brewster, whatever, of USA Today Sports' Spartans Wire, as well as Bobbitt Media. One more thing I want to get your take on, I guess, is how you go about. And I talk about this a lot with all the guests I have from the college athletics space on here, is how you balance wanting to make sure that you're covering all your bases, while also understanding that, you know what butters your bread, what pays the bills at the end of the day, what gets the most page views is going to be, more and more articles about men's basketball, about Tom Izzo, Cassius Winston, about football, about Brian Lewerke and Mark D'Antonio. So do you try actively talk to, you talked a little about, some of Michigan State's other sports, you have wrestling, you have hockey, you have women's basketball, you have soccer, field hockey, whatever it may be. How do you look at balancing those sports while also understanding that, you can do 20 articles about whatever, the Michigan State ice hockey team and get maybe not even the same number of page views that 5 football articles gets?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I think that Gannett would be completely fine if I only covered men's basketball and football. Those are the things that really drive traffic for colleges. That's the thing that drive revenue for colleges. But for me, I think that that would be a disservice to all the hardworking student athletes that are working their butts off for a scholarship. There does have to be a balance, though. Michigan State's hockey team was improving and got into the rankings, so we were able to cover a little bit more. But we're not set up for SEO for hockey. Mm-hmm. We don't have a Bleacher Report team stream for college hockey. There isn't one. So there is a very limited amount of clicks that we're going to be able to get off of that. Basically, just people who go to our desktop or mobile site and then see it and click into it. We don't have other places where that content's going to be able to be seen. Another one, now I can probably reveal that I am a huge women's basketball fan.
Hell yeah.
I wish I could cover everything the women's basketball team for Michigan State does. They're actually really good this year. Taryn McCutcheon is a great player. But I need to be mindful that I'm not over covering them because, Gannett is paying me on how many posts that we're doing per month. And if 40% of those aren't women's basketball, they're not going to get their value back. But they have given me the leeway to jump in and cover it now and then. When Michigan State's women's basketball team beat Notre Dame, that warranted a post. When they got into the top 25, that warranted a post. It didn't do tremendous numbers, mm-hmm. but just a post here or there to add a little bit of variation to the site and to get the full breadth of Michigan State athletics, I think is fine. We did a little bit on the softball team. We did a little bit on the baseball team, both of which weren't that good this year, but I was still keeping people in the know who wanted to be in the know about what's going on with those mm-hmm. teams. So you're right. We do have to totally be mindful. Just a couple of posts per month for teams that aren't men's basketball or football, but I think it's fine if you slip in a volleyball post once a month or something. I don't think it's a big deal, and I haven't heard anything negative about it from my higher ups.
It's a good take. I said that was the last one. I really want to ask this one though, just to put a bow on this. Then we'll get to the episode of Shareable Stat, and that is as you look at your own career. And people that, even the future of sports media, outside of the select few, and there really are a select few that can really make a great living as a sports writer these days. Is this the future for sports media or for you in particular moving forward? Is it always going to have to be sort of a side hustle that, can maybe pay the bills just above poverty level, but not necessarily the best way to make a living as you look ahead to, again, your own career and the space?
For me right now, with the current landscape of sports media, having it be my side income and not my primary income is right for me. I'd be kind of scared to take that risk of having it be my primary income. But I do have tremendous respect for anyone who is a journalist or is covering sports media as a full-time position. They have my utmost respect. I try to click and read as many sports articles as I can just to keep trying to support those people who are out there doing that job, because I've got nothing but respect for them. For me, it's something that I wouldn't feel super comfortable taking the jump to do it personally. But I would love to live in a world down the road, like I said at the start of this podcast, where we support journalism and the arts more, where it's not, where we find ways to supplement, maybe even with political action to be able to support those endeavors where we aren't paying journalists peanuts to write this stuff and to bust their butts and travel over the country covering these teams, where you can make a solid living and feel protected and feel like you have longevity in the space. Where we're not just gutting out every website because it didn't get a certain amount of banner ad impressions, where we can monetize things to make it be a more fruitful and profitable industry so that we can continue having high journalistic integrity, good writing, intellectual writing, smart takes about sports, celebrating sports for what's really important to us. That's the world I'd like to live in. For me right now, there was a point in my life where I was gung-ho that I wanted to just be a full-time writer. Right now, it doesn't seem like the smartest personal choice to make. But I, if there is anyone out there listening to this that does it, you have my respect. I think you're awesome.
No, I appreciate that insight for sure. And we'll have some more fun with you in our catch and shoot segment coming right up. First episode, shareable stat. And while you listen to that, Brewster and I will talk about how we can get writing and journalism and arts to become a public good. We'll be right back. Great chat with Andrew Brewster, site editor for SportsWire. Really enjoyed picking his brain a little bit about all he does for the site, how it's been built, the content they produce. And we're going to have more fun with Brewster coming up in our catch and shoot segment. But first episode's shareable stat. This episode's shareable stat comes from an article I read on Social Media Today website recently about the Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower accounts for 53% of all Instagram pictures coming from the city of Paris. Over half of every Instagram post in Paris is of the Eiffel Tower. Pretty incredible. The article actually calls it social media fueled tourism. And so I guess the ramifications, obviously it's not too surprising that the Eiffel Tower is really popular for Instagram for visitors going to Paris, but just overwhelmingly so, obviously. But the thing to consider is in the sports space and entertainment space, what is your Instagrammable spot? What's the spot there, if there is one right now, that people want to take a selfie with that shows they're at the game, they're at the event, they made their visit, they made their pilgrimage? You know, is there a sense of social media tourism or at least sightseeing at your site? Is there something special about it, something that can enhance the brand, enhance the connection to it, and also be a destination, something that shows I'm here and you're not, that little FOMO feeling? So if you don't have something right now, you know, maybe it's nostalgic, maybe it's historical, maybe it's just superstitious in some way, but what is that social media tourist site at your location? It's something cool to think about and consider and maybe do something about. So that's this little shareable stat. Pretty neat to me. Stood out just recently over the holiday reading some articles that 53% of every Instagram picture in the city of Paris is of the Eiffel Tower. All right, that's this little shareable stat. Stick around for our catch and shoot segment as we hit up more quick hitting questions with Andrew Brewster of Spartans Wire. Right back from this show's shareable stat, and I'm joined once again by Andrew Brewster of Spartans Wire, USA Today Sports, as well as his full-time gig at Bobbitt Media. Brew, you had a great interview. We hit on so many good topics. Are you now ready to do a little catch and shoot?
Let's do it.
Let's see how your stroke is. All right, number one. Of all your various positions over the years, what is your favorite piece of sports content that you've ever written?
You know, this is going to be really funny because it's sad and it's one that I didn't get paid for either. But when I was writing for Pistons Power, for Fansided, I wrote a piece, pretty long breakdown of why I thought that Stanley Johnson of the Pistons could become the next Jimmy Butler. And it did not happen. And it's very embarrassing that that's still floating around somewhere. And maybe I should email Fansided to see if they can just remove it. But I really enjoyed writing it. And for like 6 months when he looked pretty good, I felt pretty good about myself. And then it has not panned out that way. So,
not your proudest piece, I guess, but definitely one that stuck with you for over the years. And
it still sticks with me. I had so much fun writing it. I was so gung-ho. I was like, this guy... Man, Jimmy Butler didn't really start off that great. They're similar sizes. They're both great defenders. Nope, didn't pan out. Oh well.
I'll spare our listeners. You and I can probably go back and forth on some of your player crushes over the years with the Pistons.
Not a lot of crushing going on these days, but we're looking for the future.
Number two for you. The biggest source of traffic for Spartans Wire, which you alluded to earlier, and also the source of traffic you think has the most potential upside for you guys.
Right now, the biggest source would be site traffic from our pretty dominant SEO, and then also Bleacher Report team stream, which is tremendously valuable for us. If Bleacher Report pulled the plug on our connection to TeamStream, we'd probably be dead in the water because our SEO would probably suffer over time. our traffic would suffer over time. Mm-hmm. So that's a really tremendously big partnership for us. The most potential upside, I think we still have a lot to improve on Twitter and Facebook. Just being so new still, it's still developing our brand. I'd like to see our Facebook page become like a true hub for Spartan fans to come and talk and debate in the comments. You know, we do have conflicting places right now where we do want to also start some of that on our forum as well. But I'd like to see our Facebook page become one of the biggest communities in Michigan State fandom.
That's great. That's something to watch out for sure. Have you guys found much, if any, opportunity on Instagram stories or Instagram, or not much there at this point?
We have not gone into Instagram at all. You know, I'm still trying to shore up the other stuff. I'll get to that eventually.
No worries. You want to get good at what you do first before you start trying to stretch everything. All right, number three. This is going to be a fun one and may piss off some of your readers. The best Pistons player in your lifetime is blank. Who's the best Pistons player in your lifetime?
Yeah, so I'll give you two answers. I'll give you my heart and my mind answer. In my heart, it's Ben Wallace. He was my favorite player. He's probably most Pistons fans' favorite player if you're a fan in 2004 when they actually absolutely beat the brakes off the Los Angeles Lakers in the finals. But I actually think logically the best Pistons player in my lifetime is Grant Hill. I think he's one of the best players of the 90s. He's an amazing player. His teams didn't find a lot of success for different reasons, and obviously his career got cut short but it was really dampened due to injury. But I think that for a couple of years there, he looked like the next Michael Jordan.
That's a pretty fair and reasonable answer. I'll give you that. Not bad.
All right. What do you expect?
Next one up for you. This is another one I'm interested to hear your answer. The Pistons player, past or present, from your lifetime that you'd most want to interview for a story. Who'd be that one that you'd love to sit down with?
Yeah, Bill Laimbeer would be fun. Isaiah Thomas would be fun. Dennis Rodman would be great. So I'd pretty much just list the bad boys. Let's see if I can get let's go with Rasheed Wallace. I think that'd be good.
I would read stories about any of those guys. So go ahead and tee it up, and I'll be all over it. All right, next one up for you. I want to know the most popular post ever from Spartans Wire. What's the one that's hit the hardest?
I can actually tell you that actually right now, because I just compiled this list recently, so I had it available. I'll give you our top three posts of all time. One was when Michigan State lost to Arizona State this year in football. There was a botched handshake between Mark D'Antonio and Herm Edwards that went viral, where it looked like there was a little bit of bad blood between them. D'Antonio looked a little bit pissed off after the loss. That was by far the highest performing piece of content we've ever put out in Spartans Wire. After that, it was our two greatest of all time pieces, one on the best Michigan State receivers, which if you wanted to read one article that I've ever written, don't read the Stanley Johnson one I mentioned, which is embarrassing. Go read the greatest of all time, the GOAT Michigan State wide receivers piece. I think it's a lot of fun. Michigan State has some awesome receivers throughout history, from Charles Rogers, may he rest in peace, B.J. Cunningham's of the world, Tony Lippitt. There's so many fun wide receivers over the course of Michigan State history that was just tremendously fun, and it performed really well. And then the third best was Will Hunter, one of the writers and staff, ranked the greatest of all time Michigan State men's basketball uniforms, which there's a lot, and they're really fun as well.
I love that answer. I think all three of those really speak to something about sports fandom. And I think you look at, kind of working our way backwards, Will's about the favorite uniform combinations. Like, that hits on the idea that fans love to talk about uniforms and fashion these days, or especially the sports uniforms. Yours with the greatest wide receivers. People love lists. They love the arguments about the GOAT, and they love things that can draw up a little bit of nostalgia about the receivers that they grew up loving or used to love years ago. Oh. And then the first one with D'Antonio and Herm, that's probably content that people would think that they would probably stumble upon on a Twitter, most likely, or maybe an Instagram, seeing that clip. And yet, I'm sure there was a ton of people searching for that on Google after they heard about it or saw a quick snippet of it, and there you guys are posting about it. So just really cool to see those different types of content and that all, you know, perform really well for you guys in Spartans Wire.
Two things. One, that the Herm Edwards, Mark D'Antonio piece did get a lot of extra juice because it actually got picked up by a couple of those like ad or content aggregating services that'll just grab articles from around the site, put them into like their footer stuff. So that was where a lot of our traction came from. And then hilariously, our fourth highest ranking post of all time in site history was the Twitter reactions to when Michigan, not Michigan State, when Michigan lost to Ohio State this year.
Wow. Nothing like a little hatred for the rival that can get the fans going a little bit. That's awesome.
The Wolverines Wire, our sister site, the Wolverines Wire, or should I say the little brother site, they will also post about Michigan State losses from time to time, and we will do the same because if there's nothing – it's arguable that a Michigan State fan likes a Michigan loss as much or more than a Michigan State win.
You gotta love it. It's so funny. You know, diehard fans of teams will say they hate their rival teams, and yet they'll consume content about the rival teams, you know, almost as much. It's just crazy how it works out that way sometimes.
I love it. We'll exploit that at all costs.
Next up for you, Brew. I want to know, in your opinion, which sports writer. Yeah, I guess not one that works for Spartans Wire, but which sports writer does the best job on social media and why?
Man, okay, that's a good question. My favorite sports writer in the world is Zach Lowe, and I think he does the best on his articles, on social media, on podcasting. I like that on social media he is not someone who will do any arguing with fans. He doesn't do any hot take stuff. He just kind of comes in from a 40,000 foot purview and kind of gives his really key analysis about something and then gets off. So I'll have to go Zach Lowe on that one.
I like that. He does a great job on all of his platforms, so I'll give you that one for sure. And then how about sports publication, your favorite non-USA Today sports publication to read and why?
Yeah, so we actually just talked about this off air, but by far and away it's the New Yorker. I think that the level of writing on the New Yorker, we don't deserve it as a society. It's so good, so thoughtful. The level of writing is so high that I can't believe that it even still exists with all the mavening and all that that's still going on, that there is still a bastion like the New Yorker that's just putting out extremely high levels of writing, thoughtful, intellectual, diving into the philosophical implications of modern-day news and pop culture. Can't speak highly enough about the New Yorker, and if you don't have a subscription, go get one. That's my free plug for the New Yorker. You can send my check to my office.
We'll make sure they get your address. So they can send that check to you. Is there a place in sports for a sports version of the New Yorker? Is the Ringer trying to be that? Is the Athletic trying to be that? But maybe it, you know, handles too much volume to be that. Like, how can we deliver that same quality for the sports fan?
You know, I think that there was a time when the Ringer was trying to hit on something like that. I think that they've kind of gone away from that. Some of the content that comes to the Ringer is great. Some of it was less than stellar. Some of it seems like they've kind of paid almost a maven type person to just kind of pep quick hitters about certain teams around the NBA. I don't really know. I'm not privy to a lot of their strategy and stuff. I know some of it's great and some of it's not great. Mm-hmm. The Athletic, I think, is probably the closest thing to that. Or honestly, a lot of the individual beat writers that are out there writing about their teams are still putting out tremendous content. So I don't want to slight them and say that that's not still happening. I do really strongly recommend a lot of the people at the Detroit Free Press. You know, I've mentioned Chris Solari a couple times. He does a great job. I think that there is still great writing out there. But just from a non-sports side, the New Yorker is so good to me. It's an essential piece of writing for me.
Definitely a good one. I just read an article in the New Yorker just the other day. So I'll second that nomination there. All right, time for the food question. We love it here. Tell me the best meal to get around Michigan State. When you grew up, you went there for school, you spent a lot of time around there in East Lansing. You write for Spartans Wire. So if you had to tell all your Spartans Wire readers or even just the people like me, where to get the best meal around Michigan State, where would you send me?
Okay, so this is, I don't know if this would be controversial, but I'm going to have a little bit of a non-traditional answer. The traditional answer that most people would give you would talk about food around MSU is they're going to say Crunchies. That's like the essential Michigan State fan bar and restaurant. They have a great burger. I recommend it if you're going to East Lansing for a basketball game or a football game, you just want to get the quintessential Michigan State experience, I'd go there or the Peanut Barrel. But my favorite meal in Michigan State, it's actually a location where I got my senior graduation pictures taken, is at El Oasis Taco Truck in Lansing on Michigan Ave. The best Mexican food I've ever had. I really recommend the chorizo and egg breakfast burrito. Their spicy green salsa. Oh my God, it is the best food you can get in Michigan State.
So you want me to go all the way to East Lansing from Los Angeles to get good Mexican food? Okay.
There's good Mexican food here. I'm just saying at Michigan State, and to me, it's still the best. Maybe I have a soft spot for it. I haven't had better Mexican food than it. I think it's amazing. And there is actually a large Mexican population in Michigan. So I think it's not the worst take to say that it could be the best.
Not bad. All right, we'll have to check on the Spartans Wire forum if fans agree with that as well.
that could get some heat on me for sure.
A couple more left in our catch and shoot here with Brewster. Tell me the most memorable Michigan State game from your time as a student there. What's that game that sticks to you the most when you were a student there?
Yeah, it's there are two that really stick out. When Michigan State beat Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship before heading to the Rose Bowl 2013, that was really big. But I cannot say anything aside from the trouble with the snap, Michigan State, Michigan, Jalen Watts Jackson picking up the botched punt. I can remember where I was sitting in my fraternity house. Everyone went crazy when it happened. We were all disparaged and distraught that Michigan State was about to lose. It looked like the game was sealed. And I think we all know what happened after that.
One of the most epic things ever, and the fact that it was Michigan State just made it that much extra special. Just wow.
Awesome. Yeah, being someone who was in school at the time there when it happened, it was next level, something I'll never forget in my entire life.
Oh, love it. All right, to finish off here, our last one, tell me that this might be the hardest question of the whole podcast. Michigan State, is it a football school or is it a basketball school?
I actually think it's not a hard question. They're a basketball school. It's Izzo. They had their run in football, and I think that they really, for a couple of years there, you could make the case that they were the best or one of the top five best football and basketball schools for about a decade. But if D'Antonio leaves in a couple of years, you know, who knows if they'll continue his legacy of strong football programs after that. But what Izzo has built with Michigan State, they're going to be a basketball school until the day I die. You know, they're always going to be a contender in the NCAA tournament, I think with or without Tom Izzo there. I think he's built such a foundation where Michigan State basketball really, truly is one of the cliched blue blood programs in the country, where their football program, we can see that, yes, they did have some excellence there for a couple of years. I think that they still have a strong chance to get back there, but it's hard for me to not say that they're a basketball school.
That's a fair and reasoned answer. I will definitely take that. Tom Izzo, Judd Heathcote, they've had that for decades and decades with no drop off, and football just been an up and down roller coaster for several years, to say the least, with some high highs but some low lows as well.
Yeah, it's just the national championship, the multiple Big Ten titles, Izzo just being synonymous with college basketball. He's in the Hall of Fame. It's just you can't go another route. Magic Johnson is from Michigan State. I mean, come on.
definitely true. All right, you switched your catches and your catch and shoots. You're a go-to guy in the corner for us. You knocked down those shots. Now, your chance to take over the podcast, Brewster. Tell us your social media all-star to follow, whether they're on Twitter, a blogger, whoever. It can be anyone you choose, who they are, and why they're worth following.
Oh, geez. Well, follow Neil for sure.
Of course.
also, you know, Will Hunter, I mentioned him a couple times, the writer for Spartans Wire. He's great. A great follow for Michigan State content. So I'll give those two individuals both good shout-outs there. A personal favorite for Pistons, I'm friends with Duncan Smith. I think he does a great job. Mm-hmm. Now writing about all NBA for Forbes. So that's a good follow as well. And also follow me. I am Brewster.
Definitely, that was the next part. So you are I am Brewster. Then where do you want to send fans to check out everything that Spartans Wire is doing on social as well as on the web?
Yep, on Twitter, we're at the Spartans Wire. On the web, we're spartanswire.usatoday.com. If you just even want to poke around, maybe find a slideshow and click all the way to the end, whatever you want to do to support, that'd be great. Really appreciate it. If you do follow me, again, I'm at I am Brewster, that's Brewster, and I am a chronic follow backer, so I will show you some love in return if you shoot me a follow.
Beautiful. Definitely check everything out. It's just really cool, and you know, for someone in my position to be able to sort of see you grow this from the start, it's been cool to see you pursue this passion, you know, on the side, but very much in a professional manner, and to see what Spartans Wire has become today is what and how it is, and how intelligent you've been about going with it. Just really cool and inspiring to see you continue to pursue that passion in this space while continuing to do the full-time job, which you've done very well at as well. And just cannot thank you enough for giving us some of your time today. I'm sure you are between articles on Spartans Wire, so I know how much it means for you to lend some of your time and insight to the podcast today.
Yep, Neil, really appreciate it. You know, you've been a great mentor to me since I moved to LA. You know, I wouldn't be here if you didn't, again, foolishly extend that offer to me to come work under you and sit underneath your learning tree for about a year. Yeah, you've been a great friend and mentor to me over the years, so thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, no regrets at all, and wish you nothing but the best in the future, and we will continue to check things out as the Spartans hopefully make a run to the Final Four this year. We'll see.
They're going for championship or bust, buddy.
It better be.
You can bet the bank on that.
Oh, geez, it better be now. We'll use BetMGM to make sure, don't worry.
Yep, hey, there you go, good plug.
They're the last one for that. So much fun chatting with Andrew Brewster of Spartans Wire. I still call him Brewster. A former coworker of mine, someone I've gotten to know over the years, who just does a great job there and really learned a lot from him and enjoyed hearing his perspective as someone in his position who has really, you know, been grinding as a sports writer on the side, as he said, a second job, a second income, and still able to exercise his passions and grow in the space. But that'll do it for this episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Thanks again for downloading and listening. You can find me on Twitter, NJH287. Hit me up on LinkedIn as well. Visit the website dsmsports.net and find the podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms. Until next time, this is Neil Horwitz signing off for the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast.